We're going to start with a question for Terry, and I think it may be the issue that is most important to Delawareans. There is, of course, a shortage of physicians in the state, particularly in Sussex and Kent counties, particularly in the area of primary care. Can you tell me how this residency program seeks to address that issue?
So the residency program seeks to address the physician-to-population issues in Kent and Sussex County by providing residency training for physicians who have graduated and to provide their residency experience as a way to retain those physicians, hopefully, once they complete their residency. There's a lot of data that supports where physicians do their residency training, and in many instances, they continue to reside in that area following the residency, and it is probably the most substantial thing that we could do in order to help address the physician-to-population ratio in Kent and Sussex County. So we are making a large commitment, and we think it will help reduce the declines that we've seen in primary care physicians and help stem that tide.
All right, and then I'd like to follow up with Dr. Siegelman. Can you just tell me about the nuts and bolts of the program and how it works in recruiting doctors from medical schools to come do their residency here in the first state?
Sure, absolutely. So we build the structure of the program first, and we go through an application process with a national accrediting body. Our plan, and all signs are very positive at this point, is we will have five different residency programs. They'll exist at both campuses, so the residents will go back and forth between our Sussex and our Kent campus and outpatient sites. The five residencies would be family medicine, internal medicine, general surgery, emergency medicine, and what we call a transitional year, which is a year of general training that then helps someone go on to fellowships. So those five residencies, we're anticipating we would have about close to 100 residents in total. That number could change. We could increase it, but I don't think it would diminish very much. So our first program would be initiated, first two programs in July of 2021, so a little over 2 years from now. And those two programs are going to be internal medicine and family medicine. So those are a couple basics. I can give you more information if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. So it would start with the two programs, and the other programs would roll out gradually?
Correct. So in 2022, we would probably roll out surgery, and in 2023, emergency medicine and the transitional year programs. We already have hired the first program director. Her name is Dr. Brintha Vasigar, and she'll be the program director for the family medicine residency. And we're recruiting for the other of the early programs, which is internal medicine, where we're interviewing candidates currently.
Want to cover undergraduate medical education?
Thanks, Terry. Another thing that we're doing in preparation is developing a core of faculty members, and there's been tremendous excitement from our medical staff. We had at the press conference, I don't know if you were in attendance, we had about 100 physicians that attended, roughly. What we're doing to help them develop their skills as educators is we're expanding our undergraduate medical education. So we are beginning this July as a core clinical campus for PCOM, Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. And we'll have 11 students here, third-year medical students for the whole year, and they'll do all their third-year clinical rotations with us. So, and we'll have more fourth-year students as well. So as we start to do more of that education, we're developing teaching skills, but then those medical students, if we're comfortable with them and vice versa, they can apply for residencies here and perhaps be some of our first residents.
And Nick, this is Terry, I would just add that there has been such a great support from our medical staff. Gary mentioned the 100 or so physicians that were part of the announcement, but there is an extreme level of excitement to incorporate teaching within their profession. And that also helps us retain physicians as we become teaching hospitals. That helps us retain physicians who want to have teaching as part of their work and part of what they give back to the profession. So there's just a great deal of engagement by physicians related to undergraduate and graduate medical education at Bay Health.
Yes, I was going to ask you what this means for the culture at Bay Health to add this education component.
So the education and the teaching is such a strong component of an organization and a culture. Not only teaching between the physicians and the residents, the teaching of the residents to the physicians on things that may be new in the particular specialty, the teaching between the nurses and the residents, and vice versa. So that teaching just elevates, excellence and collaboration by everyone taking care of patients in Kent and Sussex.
Nick, if I could add something to that, just about the teaching, I think one of the things that we're looking at carefully is what are we going to teach? So there's a lot of all the traditional material that residents will need to learn about various diseases and how to diagnose and manage them. But there's a lot of other things that are very important today. So we have some capabilities already in teaching preventive healthcare, dealing with populations and how you keep populations healthy when they're at home so they can stay at home and not have to be, get sick again and again. We will teach things about how to be a good caregiver in the sense of how to take care of patients and their families from an interpersonal perspective as well. A lot about patient safety too. So there's a variety of different things that go along with some of the traditional teachings, which we're excited about having on our curriculum as well.
That sounds a bit like value-based care contract models. The idea of, as I understand it, you're teaching the students to care for population health and also to try to get positive health outcomes from patients to avoid them ending up in the emergency department. Terry, is Bay Health have any value-based contracts with any of the payers?
So right now we participate in a risk-based arrangement with Medicare, which is our largest payer. So we participate with Christiana Care Health System, BB Healthcare, and Anacoke Health Services in what's called an accountable care organization. So we are already working with our primary care physicians on managing a population, and Bay Health and its primary care physicians are doing very well in managing that population and managing the cost of how we take care of that population as well. So we're doing very well. We've also just signed into doing what's called a bundled payment clinical initiative in which we are paid a flat rate for a bundle of care of different types of diseases. So we're doing a lot of that, and that's why the training and teaching related to population health is a very important part of what the physicians that will be coming through the residency will be able to develop quite well.
I'd like to bring it back to the physician shortage here in Delaware, particularly, again, in primary care. Kent and Sussex were both designated as shortage areas, having more than 2,000 patients per primary care physician. It sounds like this residency program is going to go quite a ways into helping with that problem. But the fact remains that doctors here in Delaware are reimbursed less than they are in neighboring states. And while we did pass legislation last year to raise it to at least the Medicare rate, doctors that I have conversations with around the state still say it's more profitable to start a practice in some of the neighboring states. Do you feel that more legislation is necessary to really deal with this problem?
I don't think so. This is so our move into the residency program, I think, is the biggest impact that we can have on the physician shortage. And it's not just in Delaware, it's across the country. It's one step. We have a whole host of folks that do physician recruitment and are actively involved. Our primary care physicians are actively involved. So I would say that it's a myriad approach in how we attract and bring physicians in. And all those things are ongoing at Bay Health. Gary?
I think we certainly want to have a state where the conditions to practice medicine and take care of patients are conducive and help you do so without too much hassle and without very low reimbursement. So I think your points are very important. There are requirements and restrictions and administrative burden that are can be a big frustration and barrier to physicians getting their work done and taking care of patients. And the reimbursement is always somewhat of an issue. But as Terry said, you know, given where we are now, how do we move forward? And you know, this is one way to bring resident trainees into the community. They get to know the community, and they are more likely to stay. It's the way things, you know, it's been a historical fact for years. Just a comment. I mean, there are several reports, and one was recent by the state Department of Health and Human Services that showed that the numbers of primary care physicians in Kent and Sussex counties have both declined over the last 5 years, in spite of the fact that the population is growing and they're also aging and need more services. So it goes to your point about there being a significant need.
Yes, it is a need, but it sounds like this residency program could be a step in the right direction. Is there anything either of you would like to add about the program itself that maybe we didn't go over?
It's a Bay Health program, but we are communicating with and partnering with others in healthcare. So we're working with, as I mentioned, PCOM on the undergraduate education, bringing more of their third and fourth year students. We've talked with the FQHC, the federally qualified health centers in the area, and how we can work together on possibly doing some training work together. So there, we can partner with others in the state to do this as well.
And I would just I would finish by saying this is a significant investment and commitment by the Bay Health organization to tackle something that over the next 10 or 20 years will continue to be an issue as people age. And as people more people come to the state, so that growth and aging of the population will require really strong primary care, and we think this goes a long way to closing that gap.